In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, this is the third Sunday in Advent, and probably this Sunday has more nicknames and titles than any other Sunday of the year. The third Sunday is Advent, Rose Sunday, Godolphin Sunday, Refreshment Sunday, Stir Up Sunday. You know that one? Oh, if you're an Anglophile, you would know Stir Up Sunday. It comes from the first word that I call it today, Stir Up Thy Power, O Lord, and Come with Might. The choir sang that line in the introit today. And it goes back to the Christmas pudding. Tradition tells us that Albert, the Prince of Prince Consort, Victoria's husband, started the tradition of the Christmas pudding. And it does not sound good to me. Weeks before Christmas, you have to hide this thing in the dark in the basement. And then you have to stir the thick stuff. And Stir Up Sunday was a reminder to go and stir the pudding so you could heat it up. It's wonderful being Anglicans because you can't make this stuff up. And it's a beautiful Sunday. Mother Church on Rose Sunday softens her hue. The color changes from purple, the color of strict penitence and confession, to a color in between color and purple and white, the color of celebration and Christmas, the color rose. And only on this Sunday are flowers allowed to be placed on the altar. And the roses today were given in loving memory of Father Peter Carey, whose funeral mass we celebrated yesterday. And in yesteryear, when Advent was kept as a very strict season with much self-denial and practice, much as the season of Lent, this was a refreshment day when the strictness would be lifted just a bit. It's a beloved Sunday. And always, always on this Sunday, we honor the person of John the Baptist. As I mentioned in last Sunday's sermon, the two middle Sundays of Advent are devoted to John the Baptist. We delve into his life in Advent unlike any other time of the year. So it's very important to come these two middle Sundays, because John the Baptist has a lot to tell us. I've always thought of John the Baptist as the prophet of certainty. He just blessed people. He had a new way of talking. He didn't talk in spiritual cliches and platitudes as many of the religious people did in that time and have ever since. He had a practical way of speaking. You had two coats and someone was naked, give one away. Just think for your food and for your money and for your time and your talent. And people just got it. And they appreciated it. He had a thing about cognitive dissonance. He never used that word, but I know that's what he meant. That if you believe this way and your lifestyle is this way, there's a dissonance between the two. And he thought that was not only sinful, it just wasn't good for you. You couldn't be happy. So he said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Try to live what you talk. And people emptied the towns to hear John, even though his words were harsh and could be very difficult. But he was a prophet of certainty, too. He just seemed to know. When he saw Jesus, he didn't say, oh, that might be the one. He said, that's the one. Behold the Lamb of God. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He gave it some of his disciples to Jesus. And he said, I must now decrease and he must increase. He knew what he knew, what he knew, what he believed, and who Jesus was. We love prophets of certainty in our lives. Have you ever known people you just do and they give you such strength? You know the story of Moses on the rock? You know that after they left Egypt, they were being chased by the Egyptian army, and God divided the Red Sea. And the Israelites walked through the Red Sea. And the story goes that they began to be tired. And they couldn't know if they could finish the journey through the Red Sea. And somebody yelled, Moses, Moses, stand on the rock so they can see your face. And they saw Moses' face and they were strengthened and they were girded. Their arms were nerved. You know that story? Probably not. Because it's not in the Bible. It's Sesame the Mills. I was so disappointed when that was not. It should be in the Bible. Because that's what we do for our prophets of certainty. Oh, we love them. And John was a prophet of certainty. Until we come today to the haunting, and I would say sweet, story at the end of his life of his doubt. Here the prophet certainly too when he said to Herod, Herod, you live in adultery because you took your brother Philip's wife, and that landed him in prison and eventually killed him. And where we come today is he's in prison. He's languishing. He is awaiting execution. And John the Baptist, the prophet of certainty, has died. And he sends, in the most vulnerable way, his disciples to Jesus. And they said, are you the one? Or should we look for another? And the reason for John's death has been the subject of debate among scholars from that time until now. What was it that caused John to doubt? Was it that he had prophesied and believed that a Messiah of certainty himself, a Messiah of fire, and when he was baptized with fire? And yet Jesus, meek and mild, turned the other cheek, forgive 70 times 7. That might not have lined up with what John the Baptist thought Messiah was to be. Also, John the Baptist might have thought he would also be a king on a national way, not just in the work of the life after this. Or maybe it was just because when you're in prison and hungry and mistreated and you're waiting death, that's a heavy thing. Maybe he just doubted. We don't know. But he sends the disciples to Jesus, and Jesus did a beautiful thing. He affirms John. He said, go tell John what you see. The miracles, the dead raised, and the word preached to those in need. And there's no man born of woman greater than John. And we never know if John heard it. We never know if it got back in time before he was killed. We never know what John thought about it if he did hear it. But I pray and I believe it must have given him courage and bravery in his last hours. And thus John the Baptist. And what we learn from today is that John the Baptist, the prophet, certainly can doubt. So can we. And doubt is not just a part of life. It is a part of faith. You cannot have faith without doubt. If you have faith without doubt, it's not faith. It's a cult. It's radicalization of a religion, maybe just to back up our prejudices and the things that we want to believe. If we are truly practicing faith, like John the Baptist, doubt is simply a part of it. But it's easy to preach about, talk about, think about, while you're not suffering doubt. When we suffer doubt, it's really tough. And that's when duty, discipline, responsibility, tradition, and ritual, and the community of faith, that's when it comes in to carry us. So the person next to you in the pew can believe for you that day, can sing the hymns on your behalf. But we put one front from the other, and we go. And the promise is that is in time of doubt that we actually are the most malleable, that we're the most teachable. That's when growth occurs. I love the illustration of an image of a soft shell crab in the ocean. It sheds the shell, and that's when the crab grows, goes through the metamorphosis. And yet it's also, at that time, its most vulnerable state. It's when it's the most weak. It's when it grows. And so when we're in these times of doubt and we stick to our faith, we grow. And sometimes when we grow differently. Never say never in what you believe. Because when we grow in times of doubt and we combat sometimes our faith and our belief is different than what we might have thought it would be 5 years ago, 10 years ago. The Christian I am today is nothing the Christian I thought I would be 30 years ago. And doubt is the time that God gives us, really. And yet we can't doubt alone. We need one another. That's the job of the community and the church. That's the job of what it is to be disciplined in our faith. And so as we go through times of doubt, remember, stir up Sunday. Remember the Christmas pudding. Because God uses the doubt to stir in us His power. That we might come out more mature and loving and serving Christians. Blessed be the life of John the Baptist. Amen.